This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic afternoon. We've been laughing the whole break here as we have a special guest joining us, the host of the popular podcast Flagrant 2 with his friend and fellow comedian Andrew Schultz. Done multiple TV shows, including MTV's Guy Code and Wild and Out, The Leftovers on HBO, several others. Akash Singh is performing at Hyenas in Dallas on Thursday and is doing four shows in total Friday and Saturday night. So go see him if you like him. Here he is, Akash Singh. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, thank you guys for having me. This is cool, man. I was telling Brian, this is the first guy I followed on Cowboys Twitter.
Right on.
I just watched him yelling at everybody.
It's the best.
Clapback Broadus is no joke, man.
Yeah, Clapback Broadus. That's what we call
him. He takes no guff from no one, yo. I love it.
Yeah, we do. So you spend a lot of time on Cowboys Twitter, though.
I did, and then I think this year broke me. I think this year I was like, yo, it's never going to change. So why am I still doing this? I am not going to do anything. I'm not supporting the Cowboys. I want the Chargers to move here.
Wow.
I want Jerry Jones. I'm not going to say that on radio. What I would like.
Go ahead and say it.
I mean, he just needs to die.
No, no, no. Don't say that.
Wow.
I don't want
don't
that
say
to happen.
That. That's not what you were thinking, Brian?
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking something else.
Hey, if you guys get in trouble, remember you asked. And I told you
I
off air.
I pride myself on interviewing people, but man, I didn't mean to get that from you.
What I said off air was actually crazier, and I didn't realize you guys were on. Yeah. But yeah, that I won't say. But yeah. The dying is actually milder than what I was.
Okay. All right. Well, we're off to a good start here.
Yes, we are.
With Akash Singh on Your Home of the Cowboys.
Can there not be a Dan Snyder investigation on Jerry?
Well, stick around.
Okay.
So you said the Chargers. Would you be a fan of them if they moved here?
I just heard the mayor, Eric Johns is his name, right? I haven't lived here in 15 years, but he's trying to get a second team here. And then I heard he was tweeting at the owner of the Chargers. I forget his name. But come on over. I think Spanos or something.
Yeah, Spanos. Yeah, there you go.
Come over. And I would love that. We get Justin Herbert. I like Dak, but Justin Herbert's younger. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wow, so you're fed up.
He's already looking at younger girls. Like, he's ready to move on from this old
dad. Not looking at younger. I'm openly cheating.
Wow.
I'm not looking at younger women. I'm openly cheating on my Cowboys.
And you grew up here.
I grew up.
Cowboys are in your blood.
Diehard fan. My brother sitting here got me into the Cowboys when I was in first grade. I've been a diehard fan since I was old enough to understand football. I saw all the good years. And then this year, I was like, oh, it's always going to be the same thing. They're going to be good. They're going to tease you. You're going to think something's going to happen, and then they're going to lose in some idiotic fashion, and then you're going to be like, well, next year. If we had just won that game, who knows? We could have played Green Bay in the championship. We would not. It will not ever change. Dak is great. He can't change the world on his own.
Wow. So you've gotten to the point that you don't feel like it's possible anymore. Not just bad luck, but it just ain't going to happen.
I wish I had known I was going to talk about this so early, and I didn't work on the point, but I think what I've realized is the NFL's made it very clear to us this is a business, right?
Yeah.
There's not a single business that exists on earth where they produce a subpar product every single year and then you keep supporting that product every single year. Every other product, the smartest guy is a Fairweather fan. I can't do that because it feels gross, but that's the guy that's like, no, I'm just going to go where the product is the best.
Mm-hmm.
If Taco Bueno starts giving me terrible potato burritos, I'm going to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But you're a Bueno guy right now.
I'm a Bueno guy right now, but
respect
that's
not
a loyalty.
Hey, you and me both, baby. I love it.
Are the Cowboys generally a good topic for comedy?
No, because I get too angry talking about it, if you can't tell. I wished death upon someone 4 minutes ago. So it's hard to do comedy from such an angry place. I like to have a little happiness when I do it. Yeah. It's tough when it's so unhappy.
That's
but at least
real.
You guys get to talk about it for a living, so that's fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
We try. Yeah, we make the most of it.
I do think that the feeling that you have is a collective feeling amongst a lot of fans.
Yes.
Like, this was a breaking point kind of season where there's just a lot of kind of throw in the towel, and I'm kind of over this team, more so than I've felt really ever.
Same. And it happened after a 12-5 year. That's how fed up we are. 12-5 and we're done.
Because they gave you the 12-5 tees Oh, look at this. We got a home playoff game. Let's do this. And
in your heart, you knew.
Jimmy Garoppolo comes to town.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo beat us. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's a tough deal.
That's bottom.
A backup.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Now, I am curious. So you're performing. You're doing Hyenas Dallas tonight.
Tonight is sold out. Hyenas Dallas is sold out, which is really cool because I announced it like 2 weeks ago. But that was cool that it sold out. And then Fort Worth, we still have tickets available Friday and Saturday.
I'll see you there. I'm an 817 man.
Beautiful.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I'll see you there.
Yes, sir.
You there. Hopefully I don't bomb.
How much how much bombing is Akash doing these days? Like, aren't you at a place now where you don't have to fear that anymore?
No, because you always have. So here's what I'll say to any sports fan. We saw Steph Curry have a terrible night in the finals, and that's Steph Curry.
Right.
So if Steph Curry can have a bad night at his job, any one of us comedians can have a bad night at our job. There's nights where you're just not, the audience doesn't like you, you don't like them, you're feeling off, they're feeling off, whatever. And what sucks is people don't realize that. So if one of you guys comes to see me and I have that show, they're going to be like, oh, this guy's terrible. But it's probably just that show. I know objectively I am good at this,
right,
whether you think I'm funny or not, but that doesn't mean every night will go well. You know what I mean?
What happens with the bomb? Can you feel it coming? What's the anatomy
typically,
of a bomb?
Typically, it's a great question. The anatomy of a bomb. There's a couple jokes that don't go well, and then you feel it, and then you get... I used to get a little more nervous, and now I get a little bit more like, all right, well, I'm going to try to have fun no matter what, because I've gotten less... I used to panic. Anytime they bombed, I'd be like, yep, I'm not funny, and they're finding out. And I've had to work a lot internally. I'm being like, hey, I'm funny. It's okay. Good or bad, I'm funny, whether this goes well or not. So if they're not laughing... Let me just have fun in this moment.
Yeah. Which just, is that me having fun just roasting the crowd for the next
typically
half hour?
I'll pull up a stool and then I'll just start saying crazier things like I did at the very beginning of this interview on the Dallas
Killing Jerry and stuff.
Station.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is he paid for that airtime. Anyway, the point is my guy who films all my shows, Kevin, shouts to Big Kev, he's like, I know when you're not having fun when you pull up a stool and you just start getting a little bit meaner. And then usually sometimes they're just shy. Yeah. Like today I'm expecting a kind of tired audience. They're coming from work. They have work tomorrow. Show's at 8:30. So if they're not laughing a lot, I've learned like, oh, these guys are probably shy and a little in their head that they have work at 6 a.m. tomorrow or whatever. They got
to
get up.
Is it a total different vibe for you coming back home to do the stand-up shows?
Yeah.
Like, is there a student section of all your friends and family that are coming out and showing love?
It was the first time. Okay. Now it's like, you guys are costing me money. So just, you know, I have tickets that are selling. So you stay home.
Yes. Akash Singh here with you on 105 Through the Fan.
Okay. It seems like, because you and I were talking about Twitter and stuff like that and how to interact. How has, like, the hecklers become? I mean, is there a rule or a way that you handle hecklers? So, or are they getting, hecklers getting smarter or they're getting worse?
So here's the thing. I used to say, even before Will Smith, I would say, look, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm going to tease you, but at the end of the day, I'm just trying to have fun. So if you don't want to be talked to or if something I said rubs you the wrong way, just give me like a little signal and then I'll move on. And then I make a joke, which is also true. Like you could tell by looking at me, I'm not trying to fight anybody here. So that usually kind of puts people at ease. And the thing that's tricky about Twitter and why you're probably, because I get annoyed too,
right,
but you can't tell tone. I've done this long enough where sometimes a guy thinks he's helping and he's having too much fun,
right,
and it's annoying, but you handle that differently than a guy who's actively trying to undercut the show. That guy I'll be mean to, he might get kicked out. This guy I'll be nice to, tease him a bit, tell him to quiet down, and then if he doesn't, I'll warn him. I'll be like, hey, you're going to have to get kicked out. Like, I appreciate it, but you're just getting distracting. And then usually they'll quiet down.
The 903, they're texting in. They want us to ask you about Bill Burr in Philadelphia. You a big Bill Burr guy?
This is the greatest clip that exists on YouTube. Bill Burr was doing a show in Philadelphia. He gets booed as soon as he walks on stage, half a joke in. And it's Opie and Anthony radio crowd. You remember those guys?
Yeah.
They were savages. So, the crowd was like that. So he spends the next 15 minutes just destroying the city of Philadelphia in, like, the smartest, funniest way possible. The fact that he does it all off the top of his brain, that's when you know, like, oh, this is... I'm looking at one of the greatest comics to ever touch a microphone because he just talks. He goes team by team on why all the teams are terrible.
Yeah.
Your stupid once bridge town. Just like all these very specific insults that are so funny.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Anybody gets a chance to watch Bill Burr Philadelphia, watch it.
We're big fans here. Okay, what is your favorite line of jokes that you have working right now? And how does that change night to night?
I always like bits that are going to make you not want to laugh at first. To me, it's fun when I'm playing with what's quote-unquote right and wrong. So I have a bit right now where I go through to the married women in the audience and I try to justify prostitution.
Okay.
And it typically it typically flips most of the women, and they're at least laughing. I'm not saying I changed their mind, but I get them to a point where they're laughing at the bit, and I love that bit because I kind of just grew it organically over time, and I'm adding to it still. And once you do it enough that you kind of know it's going to go well, at least most of the time, it can get a little boring. I'm not at that place with this bit yet, so that's usually what I close with because I just love that idea. That if I can make a room full of married women or women in relationships laugh at men soliciting prostitutes, great. I did it.
He's got some really good stuff on the sports mascots as well that I really appreciated with the Commanders and
absolutely.
That kind of deal.
Commanders is embarrassing. Yeah. It's an embarrassment. I think teams should have a racist mascot.
Why is that?
Because if you really want to help racism, you need to remind us that it exists. Right? Like the Native Americans, we forget how terrible everything they went through was because you don't see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say why, but they're not here to remind us. So when you see the mascot, you're like, oh, that's terrible. What happened to those guys? We should help. So that's what I think all mascots should be. And I think if you win, then you get a less racist mascot. Okay. You got to reward a team for winning.
Wow. Yes. That is strong. So what's your stance on the statues then?
It was hard to do that fully clean, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really put the pressure on you there.
I was like, this is going to be turbulent.
Yes, indeed. Are you a fan of the other DFW sports?
I love the Mavericks. I love Luka. I think they wised up. They were kind of losing their grip of the wheel or whatever. And then Jason Kidd came in. Nico came in. I think they stabilized things. Luka's amazing. Fun time to be a Mavs fan.
Yeah.
I took all my Cowboys angst and put it over there.
Do you ever find when you go and perform somewhere else that, like, because when I worked for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I was there for a year. I never told anybody I was from Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's
I mean, I never, I always, like, lied. I was like, it was some other little town or something like that. Yeah. Do you ever tell people when you're, like, in the East Coast and stuff like that?
Most of them know because they listen to the podcast usually, and they'll come out through that. But it's just so, like, I can't say I'm from Dallas without you booing like morons.
Yeah.
Like, this is I'm not a player. I'm just a guy born in a city. Can I do my jokes, please? Can I do my job and make you all happy in your miserable existence for once?
Yeah.
Can you let someone try to make you happy?
It's right on the tip of their tongue as soon as it comes out.
My wife is from Philly, and our whole family. Oh, my God. I watched the Super Bowl with them that they won.
Oh, geez.
And then they just started playing Dreams and Nightmares in the house, and it was so perfect because it was their dream and my nightmare right in one.
Just nothing but Meek Mill for the next 24 hours.
Yes.
So where do you live now, and where specifically did you grow up around here?
I'm in New York now. Hopefully we're there. Hopefully we can move to a nice city that's, like, enjoyable at some point.
New York's not?
It's just cold and expensive and, like, you don't see the sun goes down at 4 o'clock in the winter in New York. It's a different life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when I first moved there and I didn't have money. My friend came to visit me and the spring had just hit and we were in a pocket of sunlight for to cross the street. I made him wait one extra red light, green light. So I swear to God, I was like, I have not seen the sun or felt the sun in so long. You have no idea.
Yeah.
It's just a different existence. So I'm there now, but I grew up in Plano and then I moved to Frisco when I was in 11th grade in 2000. So still small Frisco. And then we moved from there in 2005, 2006 and lived in Dallas for 10 years. Then moved to Houston, then they moved back. But I moved from Dallas I went to Austin College in Sherman from 02 to 06.
Yeah.
And then I left there and went straight to LA and New York immediately after college.
So how much sports do you get to talk on your podcast? It's called Flagrant 2.
We started pure sports.
Okay.
And the reason we started sports is we just wanted to do comedy where people weren't going to get offended. It felt like such a hypersensitive time back then that we're like, look, I know the market exists for people to just have fun. And if it's funny and you're trying to be funny, great. And if you miss and you say something mean, well, that sucks. But just, try again later. And sports fans tend to not get that offended by anything. So that was we were doing sports and talking sports earlier, but kind of with the intention of moving away from it at some point. Now we don't get to talk as much.
I heard you had Joe Rogan on the other day. I was listening to that. Was that your very first experience smoking the marijuana?
I don't smoke. I drink ever. I had never smoked in my life. I've never done a drug in my life. I'm a very straight-laced guy. My wife is my only sexual partner ever. So I was like, I will get high at some point. Because it seemed like the least of drinking and weed, whatever. It's just like it kills your motivation. I don't want to kill my motivation right now. That's it. So I said I'll do it at some point. And then if Rogan's on your podcast and asks you to do it, That's going to not do it.
That's a heck of a story right there. Yeah. You're not saying no to that one.
Yeah.
A guy on the station here, Mike Bassick, you might listen to him every now and then. He hadn't smoked weed until he was with
that guy probably loves Twitter, huh?
Oh, jeez.
Give him two beers and a loss of the Spurs. You see how much he likes Twitter.
So you know of him.
I know him. Yeah, I know Bassick.
Yeah, he was with the Mets, and Ricky Henderson hands him a joint in a hotel room.
Right.
So it's like, how do you, obviously.
He was also with the ticket before he did a Spurs loss and a couple of tweets.
So, Akash Singh here with you.
That's a good time to reset, buddy. We need it. Yes.
What's it like doing a show with another professional comedian as opposed to just being interviewed by sports knuckleheads like us?
Well, it's great to do a show with him because we've been friends. I made friends with him like my first week in New York. So we went through everything together. And I've seen his whole blow up and it's so amazing. And he's such a good friend and helpful and all that. And we just have chemistry. And that's why we became friends in the first place. So doing a podcast was like, this is a no-brainer. We have very similar sensibilities, very similar wavelengths of thought. This is the guy I would do a podcast with. Mm. So it's been great. My whole career, basically, is thanks to this guy. Andrew Schultz, shouts. Love you.
Salute to you guys. And thanks so much for giving us some of your time here this afternoon. How can people see you this weekend, Akash?
Listen, if you are Jerry Jones' personal assistant and you would like to have me taken care of, I'll be at Hyenas tonight in Dallas, Mockingbird Station. Those tickets are sold out, though. Ha ha. And Friday and Saturday, you could come get me. I will be at Hyenas in Fort Worth. Come right through, please. Tickets at akashsingh.com or you can go to the Comedy Club's website.
Congrats on all your success.
Thanks
for representing
so
Dallas. Awesome to see you. Welcome, door anytime you're back.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
Salute.
It.
Salute. There he goes. Thank you so much. Wooly Bully segment is coming up next here. The top 10 at 420 here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for the top 10 at 420. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. You think there will be less big company trucks on the road this summer because of gas prices? Think again. And those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them, so get the representation that won't settle for less. Frankel & Frankel, visit truckwreck.com. Here's Eric Chiafalo with Woolchuck's Broadcast Responsibilities.
Yes, sir. It is the Wooly Bullies segment of the day. We will get Woolchuck back tomorrow, which is very, very exciting. It's going to be a fun Friday show. Looking forward to it greatly. But it is an honor to take the reins at the 420 here. Now, we do have a top 10 list at 420 for you. It's a choose-your-own-destiny. So we had we celebrated together as a nation Vanilla Milkshake Day a couple of days ago. Okay, so I have a fast food milkshake list. Or I have, which could be potentially mean, the top 10 states in America with the ugliest human beings residing in them. So it is. I wanted to make it an option because one is certainly more innocuous than the other. But top 10 ugliest states. Would you like to know? Is Texas in there? But I'll let the Tolos answer that question at 877-881-1053. Choose your own destiny. We'll get to that here in just a second. But what I did want to bring to the table first is yesterday we got to make fun of Mad Dog together, Mr. Russo, which is always a really, really good time. And he's got some...
Shut up!
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Mad Dog. We have some more Mad Dog news for you. Now, we also have an old school clip that our boss, Gavin Spittle, mentioned yesterday. He was like, hey, that Deflategate one, Mad Dog's pretty good. How about the rant when he was doing like some Packers trivia game? It's the most like pointless Packers trivia game ever. And it's like 3.5 minutes of him getting like extremely, extremely passionate, fed up and upset. And the callers that are supposed to be answering these questions kind of get the bit of like, we're just going to poke the bear here. And Russo's just going to fly off the handle. So I got a little piece of that for you. I wanted to dip back into the Mad Dog archives. And here's 60 seconds of very, very mad Mad Dog.
Rick in Tucson. Rick, good afternoon.
I'm well.
All right, Rick, I'm doing well. The final Packer offensive lineman announced during pregame introductions in Super Bowl I.
Graham Gillingham.
No, it's not him. There is only one more. There is only one more. There's that's it. One more. It's not Gail Gillingham. It's not Jerry Kramer. It is not Jim Ringo. It is not Bill Curry. It is not Fuzzy. That is one more. That's it. Super Bowl one. Final Packer offensive lineman announced during pregame introductions was who?
Jerry Kramer.
No, it's not Jerry Kramer. It is not Fuzzy Thurston. It is not Gail Gillingham. It is not Fuzzy Zeller. It is not Jim Ringo in there. It is not, no, it's not Bill Curry. Who is the damn offensive lineman who was announced lastly in that stupid, asinine, crappy, garbage, terrible production game I have ever. Who is the offensive lineman, damn it?
I mean, he's just,
he
is on fire, that dude. The blood pressure must be through the roof. I love how at the end he takes out the broadcast, the production that was Super Bowl one, which, like, the fact that they even got that thing on television should be applauded. So that is some fun Mad Dog sound. Now, why are we bringing him up? Well, yesterday when he was on Stephen A's First Take, he gave his Mad Dog's A-list. The top 10 quarterback tight end duos of all time. Okay? And this is in honor of Gronk retiring. I believe, Broadus, this to be the single crustiest list in sports history, maybe in the history of lists. I don't know how you get crustier than this. Okay? So he gives you 5-1. He comes out of the gates with Brady to Gronk as the fifth best quarterback to tight end duo in NFL history, which seems a bit laughable. That's a no-brainer shoe in number one. Are you kidding me? But okay, at least they're on the list. Then things start to get a little bit more crusty. Number four, Broadus. Star to Kramer.
Ron Kramer.
Thank you. I knew it was Bart. Wow. I had no idea who Bart, the first name
Bart
of Kramer
Star.
Was. Yeah, Bart Starr and then Ron Kramer. Okay, right, yeah. Very good. Thank you. So we're going way back here. Now we get to number three.
That's the 60s.
We have Stabler to Casper.
Dave Casper.
Okay, yeah. So we have literal ghosts now.
The
we're
ghost
digging.
Of the post.
We're going.
The ghost of the post.
I mean, like, and the funniest part about this was the poor production crew for ESPN had to dig up old archival footage of these guys.
Dave Casper's made the Holy Roller. The Holy Roller.
The
play.
Holy Roller.
You remember the Holy Roller play in San Diego where the ball, like Stabler gets sacked and he throws it forward. And Pete Banaszak kicks. They changed a rule.
Nice.
It's about the fumble recovery rules in the last 2 minutes of
can't
a game.
Can't advance the ball and
yeah,
all that?
It, yeah. Yeah. And Dave Casper was the one that ended up with the ball.
Okay. So Casper. Okay. Because it's like it's ghosts. I mean, that's what we're, go-
the
we're going.
The ghost of the post.
Number two, it's Unitas to Mackey.
Yeah.
As the second best quarterback tight end duo of all time. And then you have Fouts to Winslow rounding out
there you go.
The crustiest list. In the history of lists. So I'm
all five pre-1980, pre-1970.
Yeah, they're
well,
all like
yeah, the Fouts one would be the most modern one of the group of what you're talking about. Yeah. Fouts and yeah, Kelly.
I just don't understand how he's compelling today. Like there's great audio of him in his prime losing it like you heard right there, but I don't know why ESPN thinks it's a big get to go get Russo. So I guess it's a bunch of New Yorkers living in the programming
and
area.
They pay him $10K every time he shows up. Yeah. $10K.
Wow.
I'll show up and go crazy on your television for $10K.
Me too.
I tell you what, I think it's just for that. I think it's for that potential of him blowing up like that against Stephen A. You know, Stephen A is a Philadelphia guy, right?
Yeah.
So they got a New York guy, basically a Philadelphia guy, kind of going at each other a little bit. I think that's what they're kind of hoping for. Because these new guys, these J.J. Reddings and C.J. McCollums and guys, they just kind of look at him and like, you're an idiot. They don't even go after him like they talk to him like, well, hey, you really believe that? You know, that they talk in a more of a calm fashion where, of course, we're Russo is just going to go off. That's what I think they're hopeful for.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just a funny deal, man. A funny deal. $10K an episode to give you a bunch of Unitas. He makes an effort to make sure Bob Cousy and Havlicek get mentioned
on
like every
episode.
He's going
on like
twice a
week. Yeah. He's going on like twice a week, bro. It's $10K an episode. Let's talk.
He's crushing.
Let's talk.
One of my favorite imitations is I was talking to Dave. I was doing my crusty takes at the Cowboys.
Shut up!
And I brought... and I brought up Bob Cousy. Hellman stood up, old tiny Jim. He started dribbling around like he was faking like he was chest passing, and he started dribbling again. Yeah. And he would put his arm up.
Yeah,
but it was
The hand never goes sideways. No, straight up and down.
Hellman was just imitating. Yeah. He was imitating Bob Cousy.
The hand is flat as hell. Too.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody looked at me like, "Yeah, that's the guy you're arguing." I'm like, "No, he was a better." Hellman's like, "Yo, Bob Cousy, this is how he played." He was like a little toy.
That's amazing. Okay, so there it is, the crustiest list of all time. Now, we had a Choose Your Own Destiny top 10 listed for 20.
I'll take the ugly people.
Looks like that's what the fan text has reflected as well. I think we got one vote for the milkshakes, and then everybody else wants ugly people. So this is the top 10 states with the ugliest people. You can text in your thoughts. What is your experience?
How many states I've lived in.
I wonder how many Broadus has resided in at one point or another. This is from Wood Grooming. Now, I don't know how reputable
Wood
they are,
grooming.
But here it is. Number 10 on the top 10 states with the ugliest people comes in strong, Wyoming.
Been there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very rugged area.
And it's not overly populous, right?
No, it's not.
They say the women are ugly up there?
It's just people. So, I mean, it could be men, could be women, could be both.
Because I feel like I see a lot of, I used to see a lot of strippers from Wyoming, Idaho, these little strange areas.
Idaho,
that nobody,
huh?
Yeah, and they would come down here, watch your mouth. They would come down here and work.
Yeah.
And they look really, really good.
Yeah, they're
it's not a very populated place.
The A-team comes down south a little
bit.
They do.
Is that
what it is?
Yeah. They need a good population, and they know they're too hot for their hometown.
I've seen the cream of the crop.
That's exactly so.
Laramie ain't where it's happening, right?
Damn.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
This is a bit surprising. Now, when you think of ugly states, did one pop into your mind when I said that? I know a lot of people probably go West Virginia on you, or, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, Arkansas, something like that. I don't want to be offensive.
Wyoming pops in my mind.
Okay.
Mississippi, for whatever reason. I'm sure there's a bunch of beautiful women in Mississippi.
Whoa,
for sure.
I tell you what, you're talking to, we used to play a game where we would like bet on the Miss America pageant.
Oh, that's
fun. And Miss Mississippi has won Miss USA, like,
has she?
A bunch.
Wow.
A bunch.
That's surprise. That's a bit of an upset to me.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that a little bit, Dawson.
I think Rhode Island jumps in my brain for similar reasons to Wyoming.
Wisconsin. You
know? Wisconsin. Well, Broadus would know about Wisconsin. They do not crack the list.
A lot of hair. Oh, really?
Yeah, they do
not.
A
lot of hair.
Is it? A lot of hair up there?
Like lion face. You know, got big hair. Big hair. Big hair like a lion face.
Her name is Rao.
Yeah. And they got a lot of big clothes.
She is the king of the jungle.
Yeah, a lot of big clothes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for me, like, I haven't done much in the way of traveling, don't get me wrong, and I feel like we're blessed to be in a beautiful state like Texas.
Oh, 100%.
Where every time you turn around, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. We're very, very fortunate what's swimming in our waters. But Utah, not cracking the top 10.
Jeez.
But I went to Arkansas one time. And
ooh, be careful.
That, I would say per capita, that has to be the,
the milkshake list right now?
The least amount of teeth per capita,
that's
Arkansas, from my experience. From my experience. Okay, number 9. Is this surprising? Arizona comes in as number 9 is the single.
That's false. This is a terrible
list.
Arizona State has one of the beautiful.
Scottsdale is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Just the campuses alone, you would think.
Arizona State, girls there are beautiful.
A lot of retirement communities over there, though. Keep that in mind. You know, you got like.
Go to the colleges.
Yeah, the colleges, and then there's the senior livings, and there's kind of no in between.
Okay.
But that's just my guess. I'm just trying to hypothesize
here. When they showed the crowd during the Mavericks game, it wasn't great. You make a point there.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair.
You got somebody against the senior living facilities?
No, I mean, listen, I've been a GILF guy for a long time, in general, I think I might be one of the few on that side of things. New Mexico comes in at number 8 as the 8th ugliest state in the world.
Really?
New Mexico?
Country. Yeah, New Mexico. New Mexico.
I would think, you know, it's between Texas, Arizona, California. You got a lot of prettiness happening.
Should be enough floating around on the outskirts. Number 7, Massachusetts. I think we see that.
I think so, yeah. You watch those Patriot games.
Number 6, sorry, Will Chambers. Kentucky comes in as the 6th least attractive state in America.
Played a bunch of games there. Mm.
Number 5, Illinois, boys. Number 5.
I don't know about that. I date a girl from Illinois, so I can't say that.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
I have no experience in Illinois.
Me neither. New Hampshire comes in at number 4. On the Mount Rushmore of ugliest states.
I believe that.
You believe that?
I believe that.
Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey, number three.
Oh, wow.
It's a shame because my mom's from there. So I don't, I mean, that's going to sting. She's driving around
number
listening
three
right
is
now.
Jersey, huh?
Yeah, number three is New Jersey.
Wow, I don't think that's real.
Really?
Yeah, man. Jersey's got some beautiful girls.
Okay. Well, maybe the men are kind of skewing things here because it's just ugly as people.
Okay, yeah.
This is not just women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know,
okay,
a lot of Tony Sopranos walking around.
Pauly D.
Yeah.
Kind of messing up the...
Yeah, the gabagool is big time over there, boys. number two, we got North Dakota.
Been there, yeah. I could say that, yes.
100%. And number one, boys and girls.
Minnesota.
That I say per capita, not scientific at all, but per capita, my experience, the least amount of teeth per capita in the United States.
Virginia.
It's Arkansas as number one on the ugliest states. Woo pig, boys.
I did enjoy my time in Arkansas, but that's something that I recognized as well.
But that was your good time in Arkansas had nothing to do with the attractiveness of the people, right?
Not at all.
And that's an ode to the geography over there.
Oh, it's a tremendous state to be in, I think. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time to go around the NFL here on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you very much. It is the G-Bag Nation here, and it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. I'll take first down here, if you guys don't mind, real quick. Tyreek Hill, on the second episode of his podcast, It Needed to Be Said, is making headlines again. This guy is generating some serious content and reaction. The headline from today's episode is he says he got death threats from every social media account that he owns. He got death threats. He also said it's ridiculous and he loves it. So I don't know if that was being facetious saying he loves it, or maybe he likes stirring things up, or, you know, maybe he likes people coming after him. You know, I'm not quite sure, but you remember last week the news came out where he was talking about Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, I just wanted the ball more in my final year, and the Chiefs were unwilling to give it to him. And I think Chiefs fans took great offense to that. I guess, you know, it's great that we can have more access to players than ever, but if you're using social media to threaten anybody's life over games or opinions about the games, you're pretty much the biggest loser in sports. And I guess the good news is these are rarely serious, you know? I think people say that kind of stuff trying to troll, trying to vent, usually under the influence of alcohol. Fortunately, I don't think players usually have to worry about actually being murdered by fans, but it's just pathetic.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, Kansas City, they're passionate about their football, okay? And Pat Mahomes is the president of Kansas City.
Yeah.
So you're going to start talking smack about him, Tyreek. Watch what we do to you. They're gonna get after you a little bit. Kansas City fans, I mean, they're passionate about their team. So you start coming after Mahomes, okay, Tyreek. You're going to start firing him off.
If I'm a Chiefs fan, I think I'm taking the position that this guy's just an idiot. Like, I don't know why he has a podcast, but he does, and apparently it's popular, but he doesn't have good takes about football, you know? So I think just, like, laughing it off or shaking your head, you know, or maybe being a little bit disappointed that he's gone is the real reason you're mad, because you're not sure if the offense is going to work.
You know, I'm kind of torn on this one because I think there's some people out there that are sick enough to do something to you.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this with what's happened with schools and things like that. All it does is take you to say something. It was funny because I was at the event we did on Saturday, and a guy came up and asked me about a rant that a fan went about me. There was a 4-minute rant on YouTube. If you want to, you can watch it, why Brian Broaddus is an idiot. And I watched all 4 minutes of it. And I thought at that time, I said, this guy's capable of hurting me. I thought that about I didn't seem like trolling at all. It seemed like that he was really serious about his hatred towards me. And a fan asked me about that. He goes, hey, have you ever seen this video? I go, oh no, I know which one you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. But he's in the middle, and I'm thinking, why would a guy stand in the middle of a field with a baseball hat backwards or whatever and just start ranting about me or sports takes or whatever.
But he went on and on and on and on. And that's really the first time that I ever felt like, if I met this guy, he's capable of trying to hurt me.
Hmm.
Only time.
Yeah, he looks kind of dangerous.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And
looks like he might have a store of ammunition.
Well, that's what, you know, you just never know. And I know we're trying to, you know, we're having discussions here, but I think there's people out there that are capable of waiting for us in a parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, after a show, you know.
Let's not try to talk it into existence.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. No, I don't want it to happen.
That's a scary deal.
But I worked, when I was working at DallasCowboys.com, I thought the same thing. You say stuff that's against the team. You get fans that just get, they're so passionate about the team.
Hey, was there armed guards out there and where you were working at?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Damn.
Uh-uh. But that's what one thing, like I said, when we were there, I was just like, that guy came up and asked me about it. And I was like, yeah, I've seen it before.
Here's Eric Chiafalo with Second Down.
All right, after being traded from Atlanta to Indy, Matt Ryan could make history this fall, boys and girls.
How?
However, it's not necessarily a positive title that he would be holding. So he could actually become the first player in NFL history to lose to 31 of the 32 NFL teams. And that could happen to him this year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And by next year, if he stays
with
the Colts.
Not even Fitzpatrick could pull that off.
Right.
Huh?
Not even Fitz could pull that one off. So Matt Ryan at this point, he's lost to 29 of the 32 NFL franchises. And now that he's with the Colts, he'll have a chance to lose to the Falcons, who are on the schedule.
Oh, there we go.
And then,
that's not going to happen.
You know, yeah, it would be, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That could be a little bit difficult. The Jaguars, he's never lost to the Jaguars. He's going to get a chance to play them twice this year.
Could happen.
That's correct. And then also the Raiders. So he could end up losing to, if he loses to the Jags and he loses to the Falcons, then he will be the only quarterback in NFL history to have lost 31 of the 32 NFL teams. And then the next season, when the Raiders hop on the schedule, after the 2023 season, he could by then have lost to every single team in the sport, and he will again make history. But even this year, just losing to the Falcons and losing to the Jaguars could have him in sole possession of the basically losing to the most teams in football history.
Perhaps the biggest loser in NFL history at that point, Brian. Here you are with Third Down.
Yeah, thank you very much. This comes from our buddy KD Drummond, and he's writing for the USA Today, and they had a list of one rookie that could surprise, and they did this from each team. Would you like to guess the rookie that KD Drummond picked for the Dallas Cowboys that could surprise in 2022? Just one rookie in 2022.
For the count, that surprises. Okay, so
I'll try it.
Tolbert.
I think there's an expectation for Tolbert here. I think we're going to be surprised if he spits the bit.
Yeah.
Because we really need that guy.
Yeah.
Let's go. Give me the Vanilla Gorilla.
That's him. It's John Ridgeway. He says that Ridgeway may have fallen to them, but they'll work with tandem with Quentin Bohanna. And who's a favorite of Dan Quinn's, but they're saying that this guy might have an immediate impact. This is KD Drummond talking that he might have an immediate impact of playing as that one technique for your Dallas Cowboys as that bully and interior run stuffing type of guy.
Yeah, the big guy in the middle that shuts down the run. The Cowboys haven't had a good one since Jay Ratliff, have they?
Tell you what, Jay Ratliff was pretty special.
Yeah.
I mean, he was incredible.
They've neglected the spot for years, and I think it's why he can step in and have an immediate impact is there's nobody in the pipeline. There hasn't been anybody in the pipeline for a decade that is really going to hold that spot down. So hopefully your guy, the Vanilla Gorilla, John Ridgeway, is the answer. Mavs traded their picks, but there's still no less than four things to keep an eye on going into tonight's NFL draft, and that is coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.